Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, is Mr. Spencer Blustery Williams.
Hey, what's going on? It's windy it's windy in Sacramento today.
We are in the middle of like a crazy windstorm, so you may hear a lot of noise, but that didn't stop Amy from making her way to the studio and joining us. Amy, the intern / IJNU robot,
you are back. And as soon as I said that, like, something knocked against the window by me. I'm alarmed.
Well, speaking of alarmed, we have we have an interesting conversation as we're going to be going through. It took us a couple weeks to figure out what we were going to do, but we finally decided we were going to do the best of 2020. It was a difficult...
It's a short list.
It's a very short list, but it still doesn't make them any less meaningful. So we're going to dive into those shortly. But before we do, Spence, take it away.
Tune in each and every Wednesday morning on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
That's right. We hit 250 episodes this past week, and we are excited and just ready to move forward to the next... to get to the next marker, which is 300. Sorry, I'm getting there. Yeah. I'm getting there. It's been a day. It's been a long day. Putting together this list was not easy. We had fun, and we're going to have fun talking about it because that's what we do. We talk about movies.
Yeah.
But check us out on our website, filmlosophers.com, and on our social pages, facebook.com/filmlosophers, and on our Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101. Like I said, we're going to be diving into 2020, and we are going to be talking about a lot of the things that actually made us smile during 2020, which is really hard to say. I mean, let's be frank. There was 2020 was a very rough year for a lot of us. We are diving into a conversation that took a lot of thought, took a lot of consideration, but ultimately it brought us here to this point. So the Filmlosophers present to you our best of 2020. It's a very interesting conversation that we've had in terms of talking about it, because the first thing that both of you said was, you could find what was not good for 2020.
Why didn't we do that list, to be perfectly honest? That would have been easy.
Yeah.
Yes, it would have been easier.
I literally made a section of my list that said movies I wish I didn't see. I had movies I liked, my alternates in case someone steals mine, movies I wish I'd seen, and movies I wish I hadn't seen. I'm prepared for all talking points at this junction.
So... Spencer was asking me earlier before we went on the air. He was like, you know, he actually remembers more of the movies that came out in 2019 than he did for 2020.
Yep.
And there's an actual good reason. Aside from Corona and everything, there's another legitimate reason. There were a little over 320 films that were released in 2020 compared to 2019, which saw they were released in North America, so the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. In 2020, between the United States and Canada, there was released a little over 830 films.
Okay.
So we're looking at less than half of last year's, you know, release in theaters just from the American market alone, which does typically kind of outweigh a lot more than some of the other foreign films. I mean, let's just be honest. A lot of those foreign films are more in indie theaters and things like that. So to only see that a little over 300 films actually had a release this past year, that's a pretty good reason why we had a hard time finding any movies in that, you know, in those lists. Would you say, Amy?
Yeah, no, I'd agree wholeheartedly, considering that it felt a lot of things got pushed back. So there was a lot of 2020 releases that were pushed and pushed and pushed. First and foremost, right off the top of my head, we talked about Black Widow. Hello. And then, yeah, this has been... I literally also started organizing it by, was it streaming? Did I see it in a theater? Did I not see it in a theater? How did I see it? So, yeah.
Well, so talking about this list, there are a few parameters that we did discuss as to what signifies a good selection on this list. And we had three parameters. The first one, obviously, it had to be released in 2020. Mm. Makes sense for both of you, right? Mm. Nobody's got a 2019 film snuck in there. Spencer, I'm looking at you directly.
Yeah, kind
of. Hey, if it came out on December 31st, I will count it on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, well, they showed it here once, but then all the other things were here. But then nobody really knows about this other thing because it was in a different country. So it's like, whatever. Well, I'm playing fast.
I was gonna say I can tell.
I couldn't handle any of them, and I also just found out about one of them. I didn't know one of these was a rule.
That's okay. It works.
Second parameter: it had to run a full theatrical time length.
Yeah, I didn't.
So
know that.
Anything over an hour,
I didn't know what a theatrical time length was.
And the thing is, it couldn't be any short film or any Pixar short.
Aww.
And I was looking at you. Jane over there.
Burrow, Loop, like Pearl, everything that came out of the Spark
Two of those were from
year?
2019.
Well, they were really good. I mean, Burrow did come out with Soul. So, no, that bunny though. Anyway, keep going.
And the third parameter, the last one, it had to be released on a legitimate streaming or VOD site. Or in theaters.
Well,
Now,
I'm just
saying, you don't know your old high school has a blog page and they posted this video of their
they
local
posted Black Widow.
I don't know. Hey. They posted something like it had
they posted to, it on High Dive.
It had to appear. It couldn't appear on YouTube. Oh. It could appear on YouTube Red, but
paid
not
YouTube.
On YouTube.
Okay, but like
paid YouTube.
So it
paid
had to,
streaming service.
It had to be pretty much in a place where audience views and brought in revenue in that length. Also hitting with all the other parameters.
Okay. Well, now you're going to make me start nitpicking you, even though that's probably pointless.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying YouTube has ads and that creates ad revenue, which is a ton.
But that's ad revenue. I'm talking about box office revenue.
Well,
there's a difference.
Disney Plus doesn't have box office
because they pay for you as a chump because you subscribe.
Hey, I am one of those chumps. I am a cheerful chump. And aside from the one that I'm so thankful I need to make that list. I'm so thankful I didn't see, which I did not pay for premium premiere access of Mulan.
Oh my gosh.
I am
we are getting ahead of
annoyed
ourselves.
Annoyed it was there. Well, this isn't even part of the list, so we can talk about this.
It is part of the list.
It's on your list. It ain't on my list.
Oh, we're circling back to this.
If this was a kiss, it would not be on my list.
We will circle back to this. Don't worry. So now that we know the parameters, I gave you guys the opportunity to create those lists, and I asked you to pick three.
Mm-hmm.
And among those three, also I have two alternates just in case
there will be at least one everybody would like.
So let's go ahead and start with our first pick. Now I'm gonna go ahead and throw it over to Amy because I want Amy to give me her first pick.
Well, my list also is not in any particular order. These were all ones that made me happy, and I kind of want to jump on the first one, but it would be a hyphen or a slash because they came out of the same studio.
No, it's one film. Has to be one film. You can't cheat.
Fine. Then if you know what I'm talking about, you better do the other one. So then I will go because Pixar gave us two wonderful movies.
We're not talking about two. We're talking about one.
I know. They gave them two, but the one that I actually got to see in the theater was Onward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in March, which I saw, and I just realized that was the second to last one that I saw in 2020 before they're like, no. So Onward for me was a great story. It met that high fantasy need. It was fun. I liked a good chunk of the voice acting. The the music, the score, especially in certain moments, was so wonderful and mm-hmm. brilliant. And I loved the exploration, even though I think I talked to Eddie about it. Don't you guys have an episode on Onward?
We do. Yeah. You were, that was one of the episodes you were on.
Oh no.
Your face is literally in the corner of the episode art.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? No, no. What? Oh no. Spencer, why did you tell me? Oh, no.
Well, don't worry, because Spencer's face is on
The Dirty Dancing.
The Dirty Dancing one.
Nobody put Spencer in a corner.
Oh, my God.
But
she knows the name of the episode.
Because I remember. It was so good.
I'd show you, but...
You can't. It's okay. You can always take a picture later. It was directed by Dan Scanlon. I believe this was the first one he did. It was written by him, Jason Headley, and Kenneth Bunnan. And then it had Tom Holland, Chris Pratt... Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and then Octavia Spencer. And it had such a great, like, it put great points into it of not just being appreciative of the family you have, but understanding what you, it tackled loss, it tackled parents, it tackled single parenthood, it tackled sibling relationship, it tackled your journey with yourself moving forward, exploring the great unknown, trusting the people that are around you to actually, even if they've been branded as something, trust that they actually care about you and will protect you and help progress you forward. And yeah, I found it very endearing, and I also have a manticore mug at home, like one of those little tankard manticore mugs, because I'm that person.
I think one of the great things that Onward really did was it started the year off really well with everything else going on. It was probably the first feel-good film that we could actually stream and watch after the fact, because I remember I actually bought it, not knowing that it was going to be available on Disney Plus after the fact, but I have revisited it. And the movie's message never really loses its value. In the midst of everything that was going on, you learn to cherish those that you have here now and recognize that it's okay to process and move forward. It's like, it seems like we're in a season with Pixar where they're really starting to tackle the bigger issues, the more tougher issues with people. I mean, we literally just talked about it with Soul a couple weeks ago. The opportunity they have of creating the conversation, like I said that in that episode, where you can actually have this conversation with a child and it actually means something. It would actually land, like the conversation would land in terms of talking about loss or talking about, like you were saying, single parent homes, people who have lost, family members, people who don't have a mom or a dad and they're raised by their big sister or big brother. You know, this really kind of Onward really put that niche demographic and gave them an opportunity to stand tall. And that's a beautiful thing. I really do appreciate Onward, and it's one of those movies that it's difficult to kind of rewatch, but still it's a beautiful movie to actually engage in and see. So good choice.
Yay. That was March 2020. What you got, Spencer? Because I don't know. It starts, the pickings are slim and the slims are picking. So,
yeah. So for my first pick, I went with One Night in Miami because movie aired in 2020.
And it did.
That's technically what this is about. it was
a limited release in December and then it made a wide release on Amazon January 15th.
Yeah. So we just actually talked about it last week.
It was a good episode. I listened to it. It's on my list of ones I wish I watched.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So it feels weird just talking about what we just talked about.
Well, just briefly, what were some of the things? Why is it on your list specifically?
Mostly because I, out of all the movies that I watched in like the last year, it was one of the few that actually made me think. So, like, that's kind of the main reason it got on the list. It made me think. It made me laugh. It made me actually, like, you know, process, like, you know, what these characters were saying and, like, you know, the different tensions between them. Plus, it had Leslie Odom Jr., who I'm really starting to like as
an
artist because he is fantastic.
Word. Feel it.
Definitely. He's really one of those great actors who kind of have that deadly combo of not only can he act, but he can sing.
He's a triple threat. He can dance, too.
I've never seen him dance.
Yes, you did. If you saw Hamilton, you saw him dance.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't recall that, but he was great in One Night in Miami. And playing Sam Cooke, one of the most iconic singers of, you know, that era during the 60s for African-American folk, and bringing the newness of his song, Change Is Coming. There's the whole film was just great. You got to listen to that episode 250. It's honestly one of the movies that really created an immediate conversation as soon as the movie was done within us.
Yeah.
I think I'm for the better after watching it, to be honest, because it just really was insightful. Yeah. So I am going to drop my first pick. And both of you, well, you picked a cutesy movie. You picked a good movie.
Rude, sir.
Was it not cutesy? You look
seriously?
At me.
Seriously?
I'm not going to say a body walking around is cutesy.
Yeah.
It was a good pick.
I have a cutesy movie on my list if I need one. Which will probably be the next one I talk about, but I'm okay with that.
I want to throw out one that I actually didn't know how was going to actually transpire. Didn't know if it was going to actually be good. Come to find out, it's probably the best movie to use if you're ever introducing anybody to the films of Guy Ritchie. And that is The Gentlemen. You had a very eclectic cast of characters between Charlie Hunnam, Matthew McConaughey, Michelle Dockery, Jeremy Strong. Even Colin Farrell and Henry Golding have roles in the film. Guy Ritchie is one of those types of people you either grow up with or you don't. Like,
I don't.
In terms of filmmakers. And it's okay. Guy Ritchie's not for everybody. I've been trying to get you to watch The Gentlemen for a while now.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He has tried to make me watch. I'm putting this on record. Not The Gentlemen. You've been trying to make me watch the one where Brad Pitt is a gypsy.
Oh, Snatch.
There we go.
Well, that's...
But basically, there's fighting. There's lots of fighting and boxing.
That's
Brad Pitt.
That's an actually really good movie, too, as well, from Guy Ritchie, starring Jason Statham, Guy Ritchie. Benicio Del Toro's in there. It's really good. But this one, so essentially... And Hugh Grant's in this one as well. Essentially, it's a gangster movie in London, or some parts of there, where Matthew McConaughey is this kingpin of weed, and he sells it there, and he has a huge like conglomerate of it, and just stuff happens, and he has to Matthew McConaughey and his cohorts, Charlie Hunnam and Colin Farrell, are trying to keep his kingdom intact. Great writing, great delivery from Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey is a really great actor. I have to agree with most people. His latter stuff, his more recent stuff, has been great. Ever since, I don't know if you guys know this, but there was a time when Matthew McConaughey was offered $15 million to do a role that was pretty much stereotypical of what he had done before. They were all rom-com roles. So he essentially said no to that. And he said no to $15 million and waited for a legitimate role. And I forget the film that came up after that, but something came up and he was able to pick up a more legitimate, more serious role so that he could be taken as a more serious actor.
Dallas Buyers Club?
No, this was...
I'm guessing.
I can tell. This was a little further back. But all that has worked into his favor, because now if I would have seen like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and then I saw The Gentleman, I think the credibility of Matthew McConaughey would have been really way down there. By the way, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey.
It's terrible. I like, and here's the thing. I like a good rom-com. I'm super picky. That is hot trash on a fire.
Okay.
I mean, she names his wiener after a movie character, and then it becomes the Chinese long-haired dog that she names him. And it's a hot mess. Only topped by Sahara, which is supposed to be a comedy action romance with Matthew McConaughey in it.
And
Fool's Gold. There it goes. There's the other one.
Oh, yeah. Fool's Gold. And mind you, some of his stuff had been hit or miss, you know, before, but coming into now, some of the more serious roles, the things that he's been doing, I have to appreciate what he's doing. I have to appreciate his roles. I believe it was the Lincoln Lawyer that he did that kind of brought him more into the forefront of serious filmmaking. And mind you, he's not the only person. Colin Farrell has his moments. Hugh Grant has his moments. Charlie Hunnam has his moments. Henry Golding has his moments. Seeing Henry Golding in this role after his role in Crazy Rich Asians is pretty funny, because he plays the sweet, kind fiancé or boyfriend, soon-to-be fiancé, and in this one he plays a gangster. So that's my number one. That's my first pick for 2020 as one of the best films. Spencer, what is your number two?
Okay.
You might notice. And it comes with a laugh. Okay.
Okay. So for this one, I'm going to pick the My Hero Academia movie.
Yes! Oh
my God.
Yes!
Even though I hella complained.
Oh my God. You did. Yeah. So much.
So much.
Didn't we have,
We had Tyler
on that episode, right?
Yeah.
Yes!
And, me and Tyler were geeking out, and you were just nitpicking like crazy.
Not happy.
You were. there was so much. So here's the thing. Amy and her daughter are big fans of My Hero Academia as well.
It happens. And they, anime.
And they've seen the recent one, Two Heroes, right?
Yep.
Is the recent one. They've seen it as well.
No, the Two Heroes is the first one.
No, that's Heroes Rising.
Heroes Rising is the one he's talking about.
Is Heroes Two Rising
Heroes, this one? Two Heroes is the one that's the first
on the
one.
Island. Yeah.
The island.
Okay, well.
It's okay. They feel like they should be flipped names,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Right. I remember that conversation, and honestly, I may have to revisit that episode later tonight, because that was a hilarious conversation. Me and Tyler were just like I said, just having fun talking about it. Every time the ball went into Spencer's court, yeah, but you know what? It's just so stupid. Oh my gosh, it's so dumb. Why did they do this? Why did they he got upset.
Well, why did they?
See?
Well, because it was supposed to end.
So here's my question.
But let us have Spencer talk about why he selected this movie.
I was just
going to
say.
Go, Spencer, go.
Okay, so we come down to two reasons.
Oh, boy.
One, Slim Pickens.
Okay. I hear those Slim Pickens are picking Slim.
because when I really put it together a list, it's surprisingly high up there because there's no competition. So, because it's not like a bad movie, I just had a problem with the last 5 minutes of the movie, because the rest of it I thought was great. But that last 5 minutes was hard for me. But I still think,
which happens to be the most
heartfelt
part of the whole film. But no, I get what you're saying.
No, it's understandable. For I know what your reasons. I listened to that episode.
I don't still.
I'm gonna go back into it. I'm trying so hard not to.
So Slim Pickens was reason number one. Reason number two.
Reason number two, I picked this one. What did I say? I feel like I said both of them, but somehow I feel like I also didn't.
No, you probably didn't.
You said the first one was because when I put a list together, this was pretty high up there, and there wasn't really much of things.
So you said Slim Pickens for the first.
And
I wasn't gonna hold the ending against it because I couldn't.
Okay, well, all right.
But, you know, it's a good movie if you like anime, and you'll have a fun time.
Yeah.
Those are both true things.
Yeah. I mean, I hear, so I understand your biggest argument, and I felt like it should have ended there, the way it ended. I felt like it should have been a little bit more definitive as to,
just what the heck? Honestly. Don't end with somehow this happened, even though we said it couldn't.
Ta-da!
But it just feels sloppy. Like, either just be like, oh, I guess this doesn't work how I thought it does.
Yeah,
you could say that.
This is what happened that night.
Sensu beans. My answer to everything is Senzu beans. Why does this work? Senzu beans. How does my refrigerator run? Senzu beans.
If it's an anime, there you go.
Senzu beans.
I'm going to go ahead and do mine because it's probably not the one you have.
I don't know if it's the one I have, but I like that you're just like, cut off Amy. Spence is done.
No, it's, yeah. It's not that. It's just... The one I pick is a horror movie, and
okay,
I figured
so not me.
You're
oh,
going
you
want
to wedge in a happy thought,
so that way you can come on. Trust me, I've been podcasting for a while now. I think I know what I'm doing. So my choice for the second one of my second picks for this year was actually a pretty simple film that turned out to be really really great for what it did, and that is Host. This is the movie that was shot entirely on Zoom during this pandemic.
Oh, right, you showed me a trailer for that.
Yeah, I think I just showed it to you last night.
Yeah, you did, but I still think about the 2006 movie, and I'm like, that's not 2020.
Oh, you're thinking about the one that was the...
It was like some monster or something.
It was the alien? No, were you talking The Host?
Yeah, that's
the Host is based... is a book, a YA book about an alien that inhabits somebody's body and... falls in love with a human and yada. It's gross. That's called The Host.
No, there's an... So I don't know what movies you guys watch, but I...
Terrible things the only because other, I didn't even watch it and I know.
The only other Host movie I know is The Host from 2006, directed by Bong Joon-ho, who is the same person who did Parasite. Yeah. So I don't know what kind of movies you guys watch. I watch good movies.
I think that's another one called Host. There's a lot of Host. That's like, this is the Santa Claus problem all over again.
You just ban some of these words for movies. Host, no.
What is this? The white elephant game of names for movies?
Yes.
Like, oh, that's been taken twice. It's locked. We can't use it again. Just
okay, so you're talking about The Host. Which one is it? Is the one from 2020, 2016, 20...
This one is called Host, not The
Host.
Just like how there's Room and The Room.
Yeah, that's not helpful either. Like, that is not helpful as a descriptor.
So, my
True.
Choice
this is the
as
Santa
host.
Claus.
My
Santa
choice.
Claus movie? Santa
I'm going to turn you down.
I can't hear myself. Your selection.
People in timeout.
Exactly. I have the power.
I am the captain.
No. So my choice for The Host is simply based on the fact that there's a couple of reasons. Number one, they made do with what they had. Nobody was filming during this time. No, there were no movies that were getting released or being made or worked on during the year of 2020. Obviously, so somebody decided, you know what, we can do this while still staying in the comfort of our home, in the safety of our home. And so altogether, Host was birthed and released on Shudder. And it honestly was a really good movie for what it was. They had tried to do something like this not too long ago through Bloomhouse. I had never...
The Unfriended one?
Unfriended, and then they made a sequel. But
Even that I know what it is, I was just like, eh.
But this one, you actually touched on it last night when we were talking about it, and you're like, one of the things that's just unsettling about it is, and I'm paraphrasing, one of the things that you said that was unsettling about it is how, like, easily it could happen in any situation because we all use Zoom. And mind you, while I was working today and I had a couple of Zoom meetings, I was literally thinking about that. I didn't think about that during the time when I saw the movie, but I'm thinking about it now.
You're welcome.
This movie, directed by Rob Savage, honestly doesn't have anybody that you would know in the film. However, the film still packs a really solid punch of good, full horror without obviously sacrificing anybody's safety or you know, cleanliness or just not getting sick. And this movie is good. I would recommend this movie if you haven't seen it to jump on it and check it out, because this was a big like surprise for me. I remember hearing about it and I didn't know where it was going to go, and ultimately after watching it I'm like, this was actually really good. So yeah. And I know none of you guys are going to add to that because nobody here has seen it.
True.
So let's go ahead and talk with Amy's second choice.
At least Spencer heard me. That was worth it all. So second choice, I'm jumping to the month of April because I went so far in the beginning of the year. Streaming on Netflix the end of April directed by the co-director of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, is The Willoughbys. So if we want to talk about feel-good cutesy movies, here's Amy's pick. So the story of The Willoughbys is originally, it's based on a book written by Lois Lowry. It follows a family, basically four kids, and their parents. There's two twins, the older...
And the baby.
And the baby.
See, you... Oh, see.
And the baby... Well, no,
your
because...
cutesy movie because card has been revoked.
Technically. No, see, and here's, herein lies the run. The baby's adopted.
He's still in the movie.
They find the baby. Her name is Ruth. Calm down.
And you're not, you're still missing
the
point.
So basically we've got an all-star voiceover cast of Will Forte, Maya Rudolph, Alicia Cara, Terry Crews, Martin Short, Jane Krakowski, Sean Cullen, and Ricky Gervais. And so we're following these, technically it's four children. They find a baby named Ruth, that are the Willoughbys, and their mom and dad just have no time for them whatsoever.
No. It's not that they don't have time. They just don't like kids. They don't like their kids.
Why did they have kids?
No, it is literally, it's kind really? Of hilarious. Wait.
Why do people have kids?
Wait.
I'm pretty sure it's the process of
making.
Have
you not got an opportunity to see this movie?
No, I saw a trailer with Eddie.
I showed him the trailer yesterday.
I really like it because it's ridiculous. But literally they're like, your name is, Martin Short pushes out Tim, who's the oldest Will Forte's character, and goes, you are Tim and you are Willoughby, don't interrupt us. And like him and mother are off doing whatever they're doing and they're being ridiculous, but it really emphasizes the family dynamic in the kids and how they support each other. And then Maya Rudolph's character coming in, and you find out, spoiler,
as the nanny
you find out much later that she was a foster kid. And she understands not having a family, and that all she wants to do is help take care of the Willoughby children, because mother and father Willoughby decide to go on a around the world trip and they just leave them at home.
Mind you, it's not even a curated trip from like a travel agency. The kids decide they're going to put them on the most dangerous, perilous trip ever. And they literally are gluing things to a big map and leave it for them to find.
And it says no children, and they're like, "Oh, no children! Oh my gosh!" Martin Short
doesn't make any sense. You could go on a trip and just be like, "Oh, there's no children." Bye.
Oh no, the emphasis is like this is the travel agency where they got this brochure is so anti-children that they're like, "Leave your children at home." And Jenna Krakowski and Martin Short are wonderful because
Jane.
I keep saying because she was Jenna. Sorry. 30 Rock. They're so good. It's so, you're just like, what? Like, it's so funny. I found so many great moments where I was just laughing or like, no, why the heck are you guys even doing that? And then Terry Crews runs a candy factory and he adopts baby Ruth. That was
Did you just get it?
So that was awful. So accidental.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. It's fun. Ricky Gervais narrates where you kind of really don't need him to. It's okay. But definitely, I loved it. I've watched it more than one time. I believe it has like a 91 on Rotten Tomatoes. But yeah, it. Mischief pretty much reigns through this entire thing because it's funny.
Yeah, it's really a fun and heartwarming movie. It definitely does warm the cockles of your heart, if you will.
Unless you're Martin Short, because he plays father and it doesn't warm anything.
Getting into spoiler territory, are we? Kind of jumping forward into pick three. Now, this is the last pick, so this is the only final time you guys can pick out of your lists, which I'm looking at Spencer, and I'm pretty sure he only has one more left on his list.
You know me so well.
I don't.
So I'm going to go ahead and start out and give my pick. I thought about there's so many movies that I wanted to put in this list, and in this last one, I really wanted to fit something that kind of suited what really exemplified great filmmaking and movies with a message. And so I'm honestly going to have to go with Invisible Man.
Whoa.
Did you see that one?
No, I'm scared of gaslighting. I'm still recovering.
So
that's just being 100% blunt and honest. Yeah. I don't know if I could handle it. My anxiety levels are high enough as it is. It's a horror movie.
Well, it's more like a thriller, suspense thriller.
My anxiety knows no difference.
So the wonderful thing about this movie is how low the expectations were and how much... Well, no, for both of us, honestly, because we saw the trailer.
That trailer was garbage.
See?
Like, the trailer alone made it seem like it told you pretty much everything that was happening in that movie.
We saw the trailer at the theaters, and I literally remember turning to you and said, well, I'm not going to see that.
Yeah.
Because, like Spencer said, everything was already in the trailers. I'm like, oh, what do I need to see this for? Well, I actually saw it, and lo and behold, the movie was fantastic. Outside of the normal in the Invisible Man storylines that you usually get, whether if it's like Hollow Man or the original The Invisible Man, this movie builds upon more than just the fear of somebody who is invisible, but more so the fear that it takes the stance on the fact that there are women who not only are facing an invisible threat, but they themselves are ultimately seen as invisible when they talk about that threat. And this movie just, it makes you upset. It makes you like, it makes you jump. It's really great. It stars, oddly enough, since we just saw this recently, it stars Aldis Hodge, the man who played Jim Brown from One Night in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Aldis Hodge, Elizabeth Moss. It's a really Oliver Jackson Cohen, this actor. Okay, let me take a quick second. Oliver Jackson Cohen always looks like he's sick. He always looks like he's on the verge of having some kind of mental breakdown. Like, look at that photo. Tell me that doesn't look like he's on the verge of like a mental breakdown. That's not in a movie. Hey. That's just him.
I can't see, so I'm assuming whatever you say. Yeah, your eyebrows just did it all. I don't even have to. Literally the look that.
Well, okay, that's part of a movie. The other photo you showed me of just him being him.
No,
he
that's
like a regular person.
Like even in that photo.
Okay, like he
doesn't always play like a sickly person. I remember seeing Faster, movie done in 2010, one of The Rock's first serious films.
Oh. Not Scorpion King.
I said serious.
That was such bad.
It will forever be the highest low bar that we could hit.
The highest low bar. But in that one, he was just supposed to play like an assassin, and he looked like he was three sweats away from having a nervous breakdown. So the actor fit the bill really well for this movie because he plays the ex-boyfriend who ends up killing himself and then leaves like all this money to his ex-girlfriend, who essentially is tormented by this guy nonstop because he is the lead engineer in technology of optical refragmentation or whatever, essentially a sciencey way to make people disappear and be invisible. Mm-hmm. And she tries to tell everybody. She tries to tell her best friend. She tries to tell her sister. She tries to tell the police. And literally there is no moment in this film where people are actually like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's see what's going on. Everybody is like, are you okay? Do you need to go seek help? Like mental help. And that's frustrating. That was frustrating to see throughout the whole movie. So this movie really just exemplified every bit of the frustration that I know if I had it, it's like a million times more for women out there who are just gaslit all the time and then are unable to speak up about it because nobody will believe them because of their gender. And I know this is a lot coming from a horror movie that was released in February before a huge global pandemic, but still, this movie really hit a lot of chords and really did resonate in a way that I haven't seen a horror movie do that since Jordan Peele. You know, Jordan Peele has been able to do that, but outside of him, everyone else is kind of like, slasher here, cut there, you know, mask here, blah, 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 monster there. You know, Jordan Peele kind of brought back the intellect in movies, in horror movies, in suspense mm-hmm. thrillers. And now we have another opportunity with the director Lee Whannell, who is the writer, original writer of the first Saw film. Him and James Wan both were co-writers on the first film. This movie is just great. It's a movie that I would suggest anybody see if you are uncertain about whether or not you are alone in the things that you are facing. You know, to understand that you're not alone and that it's literally so widespread that there's literally a movie about it. So
to me, it's so wild that this movie is even watchable to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, like, you know, praising it. I'm kind yeah. of thinking this might need to show up.
No, and like I told you, like, literally in the theaters, I had no intention of watching this. Mm-hmm. I literally didn't. And then I had a friend out in LA, a friend of mine, who was like, oh my gosh, I just saw this movie and it was really good. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, it's called The Invisible Man. Have you seen it? I said, I kind of brushed that off. It didn't look that great. I saw the trailer. I figured I saw the whole movie. She goes, no, you need to see this movie. So it really did step out for me. It was great. So, but that's my third and final pick for 2020. I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to Amy. What is your final pick out of your three?
I know. Yeah, I really struggled because, of course, the easy pick for me would say Soul. It was wonderful. It's amazing. I love it. Yay, Soul. But in saying that...
Is this your way of still having two selections?
I feel like it is.
Look at that. She even did a wink. Oh, my gosh.
But let me get in depth for a second on something that was unexpectedly showing up September 2020 on Netflix. Actually coming from Legendary, which was even cooler. I liked Enola Holmes, which is based off a series of books as well as comic books. And it was originally planned for a theatrical release by Warner Brothers, but the distribution rights were picked up by Netflix because of the pandemic, and then it was released in September 2020. So it has Henry Cavill, Sam Clayfin Finn from Hunger Games, and then Helena Bonham Carter, as well as Millie Bobby Brown. It's always like a tongue twister. Millie Bobby Brown in the lead role. So somebody said that it had more spirit than Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movies and was more fun than the Nancy Drew from 2019. I found it, in most places, it was a pretty good jaunt for a young adult exploration. She's going out jaunt. On your own. Yes, jaunt. It's a jaunt.
I don't know what jaunt means.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Think she got it from the movie.
No, it's a British word. It's okay. We're going on a jaunt.
Yeah, and Sherlock Holmes is British.
Yes. Yeah, so maybe. he has a little sister. and her name is Enola Holmes. And she solves mysteries. I liked how this was shot in a good couple of places, how things were cut together. There was a lot of fourth wall breaking with Millie. People are speaking with their actual accents, which is awesome. Because on occasion, I forget that Henry Cavill is not American.
No, he's not. There's like a few actors and actresses, and I'm like, I forget that you're not one of us.
You're like, oh, yeah. And then...
You mean Hugh Jackman doesn't always talk like that?
Never.
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 Never. You're going to do it right.
That's why I have you here. That's why I'm allowed in the building, is why you get to do it and not me or Spencer. We let Spencer do it too. But yeah, it was a really great jaunt. It's something to watch and explore, and it made me feel like...
What does jaunt mean? What does that mean? Tell me what that means.
If you're going on a jaunt, it's like an adventure, or you're moving. Is that what...
Okay, keep talking.
Please Google me. Please. I would like some synonyms for jaunt.
I don't even know if I'm spelling right.
J-A-U-N-T.
A short excursion or journey for pleasure.
Which is, that's what this movie was.
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
Okay.
It also made me want to watch Count of Monte Cristo, the one with Guy Pearce.
With baby Henry Cavill.
With baby Henry Cavill and that butt chin that scared us all. Olay.
Okay.
But yes, he played a really okay Sherlock. Mike, his brother,
Mycroft.
Mycroft was, I keep saying he's Finn from Hunger Games. He was so wonderful in that. And this one, he's so absolutely, utterly despicable. We also get the lovely, what's her name? Aunt, is it Aunt Petunia? Harry Potter?
Oh, no, no, no. Are you talking about,
Dursley, his aunt?
Oh, I forget. She plays the schoolmaster.
She plays a school, is like a really mean school headmistress, and you're just like, yeah, we knew you were evil. We knew you're evil. But yeah, those are my picks.
Yeah, Enola Holmes was good. It was definitely one of those movies that really does surprise you. I can't believe she did two choices in one. So now if you had Soul as your third pick, I do apologize, Spencer, because she took that in a small microwave and didn't even give it enough glory. So I do apologize. But
which means Enola, you can give it all the glory.
After you've already revealed it, but it's okay.
I mean, it could be over the moon.
He didn't see that.
I don't know.
I know he didn't see that. Tell me. Tell me that I know I'm right. Go ahead. Say it. Go ahead.
So anyway, my pick.
No, Enola Holmes was good. It was definitely a unique fixture in Netflix. It doesn't surprise me that Millie Bobby Brown shows up in another Netflix property. It's okay. It's good. It's definitely your, in, you know, unique way of doing a Sherlock Holmes type movie, because she does deduce by just as much as Sherlock does, and sometimes even a little bit better. But she is the focus of the movie. It does turn a little CW-ish towards the tail end, and it becomes focused about a boy. It does also, in that same right, do double duty by making that boy also the focus of the case. But then it kind of muddles it at the end when she's like all misty eyed when she sees him again. So it's a good YA movie. So yeah,
I picked mostly movies you could watch with your kids in the room. Dun, dun, dun.
And on that note, Spencer, what was your final choice? What is the only last movie on your list?
So the last movie on my list is Ma Rainey's
Black Bottom. I knew it. Yay! I knew it. If you weren't going to say that, I was literally,
this is on my list of things I wish I'd seen.
It's right there. And it was right next. I'm like, if he doesn't pick it, I'm going to say it. Cause that was go ahead.
Episode 249.
Yeah. So two of my movies from the last two we did this year, but
they were both great.
Yeah. They're great. And they really hit home. And I wish there was more that were up to that level, but that's just where they fell this time. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is basically just the story of a recording studio session of Ma Rainey and her band, and all of the chaos and madness that pursues, because you have Viola Davis portraying Ma Rainey, and she is just the biggest diva ever, and she's fantastic in the role. And then you also have Chadwick Boseman in this movie too,
who also plays a diva, but doesn't have
a different type of diva.
A different type of diva, yeah.
And then just it all just gets out of control, but it's all it's a really great movie. We just talked about it two episodes ago. Definitely check it out. And if you haven't seen it, I still recommend it highly.
Yeah, this was the movie that was a part of Denzel Washington's push to get a good majority of August Howard, the playwright, August Howard's plays put to film. The first being 2015, 2016. Someone check that on me. 2015's Fences, sorry. Or 2016's Fences, which was another incredible powerhouse performance by Viola Davis as well. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is such 16. Huh?
16.
Okay, 2016. Cool. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is such a unique film because, and we talked about it on the episode 249, Lesson 249. It's so incredible how the room seems to shrink as the egos and the more and more character of each individual person becomes more and more at the forefront of what's happening. And I absolutely love that movie. I wanted to pick it. I kid you not. I wanted to pick it, but I knew you were going to probably pick it.
You know, I actually had a feeling. I was like, everybody's going to steal this one.
I almost did. I was like, I might have to be. And interestingly enough, Amy, you had mentioned prior to this, this is actually a movie you have on your...
I wish I'd seen it. So, like I said at the top of the episode, I created extended lists of I wish I hadn't seen it and I really wish I had. And this is right underneath the personal history of David Copperfield. Because I listened to the episode and it was so good and you guys were so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, dang, I really need to see this movie. So yeah, it was literally the next one. And One Night in Miami is that one. And then Promising Young Woman was the other one for my, I really need to see it from 2020.
Yeah. It's definitely a movie that, that takes you by surprise as it progresses. From beginning to end, it really does kind of put you in a unique place after the movie's over. Similarly to how Kemp Powers, the screenwriter and original playwright for One Night in Miami, directed by Regina King, by the way, same way as how he did One Night in Miami, pretty much encompassing the majority of the film in that one room. This studio, this building, this singular place is like literally it can't handle everybody who's in it. It can't handle the egos. It can't handle the issues. It can't handle the racism. It can't handle, you know, the mindsets, the divas, the everything. And it's just a great movie. It's a really wonderful movie. So, but that wraps up our top three picks. I did want to bring out a surprise pick with you guys, and I know this was a little bit this one was really hard, but I want to find your guys' most disappointing film of 2020. Now, I would like to hope that you guys are going to pick different films. So with that said, I know what Spencer's is, so I'm going to start with Spencer, and I'm hoping Amy will have a different one.
I have options.
Yeah, okay, good.
But so, there is such disdain and a nasty taste in my mouth right now. I really hope the first words out of it is Bloodshot. I know, it's not. No,
only
but it's okay.
Because, like, that was in the before times, and, like, I had a lot more tolerance. That was
pre-COVID.
I like the before times. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so what happened during COVID that I did not have tolerance for was Wonder Woman 1984.
And there it is.
One of those movies where, like, as I was watching it, I was like, huh. And then, like, I think I just needed time to really process what happened to me. But, like...
Did anybody catch the name of that bus?
Because at first I was like, oh, okay, this is all right. But then, like, later on I was like, no... No, actually, it's not. It's like, as time progresses, the angrier I get about the movie. Well, not like anger, but like more of a laughing at how bad it was. Just like, how did anything work? Why do I have so many questions about how wish making works? Because that seemed to just be a confusing mess. And just the logistics of how the entire thing worked was confusing. The ending, where he suddenly cared about his son again, even though he kind of seemed like he was a waste of space from his point of view, but whatever. How did she get the lasso on him?
Just let it get sucked in.
She couldn't get it on him for the longest time. We already talked about all this. I'm still perplexed. And I'm also not shocked that DC messed up this movie, because it seems like they had everything going for it. This is the one I was like, well, how could they miss? How could they?
Every way. Every way they could mess it up. I am 100% with you on this. I'm so glad one of us is saying it, because sweet baby Jesus, if you hadn't said it, I was going to say it very loudly.
I know we already talked about this in the episode, but again, coming back to, like, you should not in your movie have weird issues with consent and people's own bodies.
Nope.
It's like, really, that's the one that's the most confounding.
That's true. Above the lasso, above the invisible jet with
consent.
with the infinity gas tank, with that, above all of that other stuff. Yeah. The poor man who now has probably been in therapy from 1984 till 2020.
We will never know.
Also, when Matthew Patrick of Game Theory can do a whole episode about how your jet is not going to make it from America to Egypt, and also how it's not actually invisible, and I'm like, this makes sense. Like,
ping, ping, ping. Radar. Thank you, radar. Hello.
Radar works on things it can see.
I'm so glad Spencer brought it up because I could go even longer than what he did. And that was so nice and concise and so enraging still. It makes me so proud.
So, your turn, Amy. What was your most disappointing film? One. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this.
No, I did want to say this movie.
I'll also do that.
I will go back around to round two. Because I'm torn between two, but I'll save everybody the heartache because I know neither of you saw it. Mm-hmm. But it was the biggest waste of my time, just straight up. So I'm always like, hey, Disney's putting out a movie. Let me try this. They put out a movie called Godmothered.
Oh, did that come out?
Godmothered.
I remember I saw the trailer for that.
So you're thinking it's like, oh, no. Dresses, set design. Hey, costuming was great. The acting from the main actress and Ilsa, whatever her name is that I always forget because the last time I saw her was on Wedding, or the first time I saw her was Wedding Dates. With one of the Wilson brothers and Vince Vaughn, and there were Wedding Crashers. That was that one.
Are you talking about what's her name from Now You See Me?
Right? Yeah, she's Ilsa.
Isla Fisher.
Is it Isla or is it Ilsa?
Isla.
There you go. Her. So the entire concept of this movie, which was utter baloney, was optimist. Going in as an optimist, it was a godmother in training. She's the newest godmother. They haven't had godmothers for a very long time to go to the real world, grant wishes, yada yada. You come to find out, oh no, the godmother like land, the motherland, no joke, is dying, and they're all going to be reassigned as tooth fairies because there's no more princesses or young girls having wishes. So this upstart who was in Britney Runs a Marathon, which
Jillian
was from
Bell.
She did great. I loved,
mind you, yeah, that was a really good movie. Did that come out this year?
No, I think it came out in 2019. I loved Britney Runs a Marathon. It was great. Serious. Thank you, Jillian Bell, in that movie. This one, girlfriend, I love you, but no. So she's upstart. She goes to find a letter, finds the only letter in this defunct library, and it says, "Dear godmother, I like this boy and I want to be happily married. Can you help me?" And she goes, "I'm going to sneak off to the real world and grant this wish and prove that we have a purpose." Ha ha. Oh my ever flippin' Lord. Don't even, just don't. Like, it tried to be a rom-com. So Jillian Bell shows up looking for this little girl. Surprise. It's what's her name?
Isla Fisher.
As a full-grown woman who's a single parent with two daughters and a dog and her sister and her... Well, she's a widow. I gotta correct that. She's a widow. She works at She's like a TV producer and she's trying to have hard-hitting journalism, but they're all like going with ridiculous pieces. They want her to twist it all up. And the guy there is kind of flirting with her and he's a... historical reenactor, but he's also
a historical reenactor.
It's a hot mess. It's such a hot mess. I can't. No. Like, I'm so glad I didn't pay money to see this. Like, it's, you know, it was included, but I was just like, this is not even to the level of a DCOM. And just to clarify what a DCOM is, because I know Spencer already knows, it's a Disney Channel original movie. This was... Mm-mm. Some they were going to try to put this in a theater. No, I mean, it would have flopped really great, but no, guy, just no. Like Wonder Woman, so much rage. This one, just I suffered. I bled for you. Let my sacrifice be enough.
Oh, see, now I kind of want to watch it.
No, no.
Horrible, and I'm intrigued.
Oh no. The other one I have, I can't bring up, but we can talk about it later.
Okay.
If he doesn't bring it up, if you don't bring up the one that I left on the table.
No. Hold your horses there.
But she's, yeah.
I like how you just tried to like, oh my talk gosh. About this one.
She's like, you need to. I need it. Like a drug addict over here. Take it easy there, Snuffy. I don't know.
Anyway, wait, isn't that, wasn't, is that death, what was it, Death to Snuffy?
That was
Edward Norton, Robin Williams. No, yeah.
Death to Smoochie. There you go.
Thank you, invisible voice in the background. You're so smart.
So there's a couple options I wanted to go with. Snuffy. I originally wanted to go with Doolittle because it was so garbage.
I didn't even see that.
The whole climactic point of that movie is Robert Downey Jr. pulls an accordion out of a dragon's butt. That's the whole premise. That's the climax of the movie.
Why couldn't he find the giant snee snail like Rex
Harrington? Snee snail?
Yeah, like Rex Harrington did with the push me pull you. I watched the original Dr. Doolittle.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. That was the height of, and not to mention all the different people that were actually in this movie were playing voices of some kind of creature. So it was a little disjointed. Sadly, it had people like Antonio Banderas. It had Michael Sheen. Emma Thompson, Rami Malek, Kumail Nanjiani, Octavia Jimmy Spencer, Christie's. Tom Holland, Craig Robinson, Ralph Fiennes.
That's too many good people, animals.
Here's the thing. Michael Sheen and Robert Downey Jr. And Antonio Banderas are the only real people. All those other people play animals. So
that's heinous.
But I am going to pick the one that really let everybody down midway through the year, hoping it was a good movie, and it just turned into the most ridiculous, sad, unfortunate career diving vehicle for one Josh Gad, and that is Artemis Fowl.
Artemis Fowl was just sticking with the Disney train over there with Amy.
Artemis Fowl was
Dame Judi Dench deserves so much better.
Top of the morning.
I am Colonel Potter from MASH, but in lady form. Potter was even nicer in MASH.
The whole movie was just so disjointed, and I got a chance to read the actual book, and I'm like, I would have stuck with the book. I would have like really wanted to see the actual book put on the screen, because whatever this garbage was not the book.
Diggums, that him dropping his jaw.
Josh Gad extending his jaw and then having dirt fly out of his butt. Did we forget that?
I blocked it from my mind.
Josh Gad and his dirt munching self.
The worst part is just like after like the horror of him unhinging his jaw, he starts going out of it, and then all of a sudden it's like one of those blink and you miss it, like you just see it come out of his butt.
Yep. And like, then they're just like froop. Like move the camera.
Did I even see that?
It was there.
This movie had so much high hopes for it because of it was coming from a very prominent book series.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've heard about it. The book series was good because he is a thief.
He's a mastermind. He's essentially the role of a villain, but in the role of the hero, so to speak.
He's an anti-hero.
It's really unique the way the book portrays it. So, needless to say, there's a lot of expectations for the movie to portray that. And unfortunately, this movie sucked, to say the least.
That's polite.
Because, what is it? Josh Gad plays a dwarf or it's a goblin and a giant or something.
Yeah. Essentially he's part giant, but he's part something else. And he's just tall. He's taller than he needs to be a dwarf, but he's way shorter than he's supposed to be for a giant.
So essentially he's the B movie version of Hagrid is what I'm understanding. So
Hagrid's in a different lane. That's
exactly what he's trying to be though.
But he's even supposed to, we dare not utter Hagrid's name about this man. This is just rude to Hagrid.
It is.
Hagrid at least wouldn't.
I wouldn't expect to see anything fly out of Hagrid's butt from Harry Potter.
That's true.
You're a dirt muncher, Harry. Like, what else are you going to say at this point?
Like, that's the saying of 2020.
Oh, my gosh.
You're a dirt muncher, Harry.
Like, I blocked this movie out of my mind.
Yeah, no, this movie has still been at the top of my mind because it still circulates on the Disney Plus platform. from the time to time.
Well, see, the thing about this movie was is that this was the first new movie I saw since the pandemic started. So then I was like, it was burned into my mind at that point. And I was like, this was so bad, Disney. And it was just insane that they were going to charge people for this if there wasn't a pandemic.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, and the worst part about it is that you have the likings of Josh Gad, like we mentioned, Dame Judi Dench, you had Colin Farrell, you
the
had
the guy that was the butler with the blue eyes. Yeah,
Nonso Nosy.
Who is big in lots of sci-fi and
he was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, in Game of Thrones. But in sci-fi and BBC television, and he's wonderful.
He plays the butler.
Do you want to know what made it even worse for me? So literally the day before, I had watched on Hulu, Tea with the Dames, which is a kind of documentary. They bring together Dame Judi Dench, Dame Maggie Smith. I always forget her name, but she is she was Mrs. Wilson on Dennis the Menace. Huh. And then I'm missing one more, but they're all dames and they've all known each other for so long. And they sat around a table, had tea, talked about, what it was like being on the stage, what it meant growing.
Joan Plowright.
And there should be one more.
Eileen Atkins.
Yep. There it's Eileen. But it was wonderful. It was really sweet. It was them just talking about the craft and they talked about how they knew each other from theater. And then I saw Artemis Fowl and I was so mad. I was so mad and so frustrated. I'm like, you're Dame Mother Clucking Judi Dench. And they literally like, what did you do to your voice? Julie Andrews didn't even do this to her voice. And she had vocal cord surgery. Like, come on. No.
Yeah. This movie and the fact that Judi Dench has really made a name for herself as of late with like kind of becoming a TikTok personality.
She's had fun.
And then doing a lot of those really fun Zoom call things with Martin Sheen, Michael Sheen and
David Tennant.
I mean, she's great in all of that. So the fact that I keep being reminded of that every time I see her, it's like that bad taste in your mouth whenever you see something that you've eaten before, which you had a bad experience with. That's what I see when I see Dame Judi Dench now. Not to mention, I've now removed the role that Josh Gad is or was an actor, and he's just a political activist on Twitter. That's what I see him as right now, because I don't really know if I could ever wash that out of my mouth.
No.
And mind you, there's several others that we could probably list off.
The Witches.
The Witches.
The remake of The Witches.
It was bad.
No. So I will
like
briefly
the one from the 90s.
I will briefly say Stan Tucci did a great job. Good for Stan Tucci.
I'd take Rowan Atkinson over Stan Tucci.
And Olivia Spencer was in it as grandma.
Octavia Spencer?
Octavia, did I say Olivia?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm out of it. That's fine. This is how bad this movie was. I loved this story. I love the original.
Yeah.
It just got murdered. Like, it wasn't even the fun way that it could have been happy or anything else. Anne Hathaway, like, I don't know what her Grand High Witch was. We've got...
Well, Anne Hathaway and her she had, like, the
she
weirdest...
She was trying to do something like this, but it's not even that cool. I'm terrible. I'm bad at this.
It stuck for a little bit, and then it would go away, and then it would come back, and then it would go away. Not to mention, the mice were all CG. There was no, like, one of the great things about the original was, like, the practical work, mm-hmm. the actual little mouse puppets.
The Muppet mice, because they were made by the Henson Company, and they were so stinking cute.
And in this one, they're all CG, and apparently there's a third mouse that's involved.
And it's Kristen Chenoweth, and oh, darling, she's been a girl or a mouse for so long. And then we never even see her when
the movie wraps up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it definitely really struggles to kind of live up to that. Spencer, was there one other one before we wrap up?
No, because I mostly want to talk about Artemis Fowl and the other one I keep forgetting.
It's okay to forget.
If you're forgetting it, then it's probably a good
thing. It's okay to forget.
I'm sure I'll remember it sometime.
I mean, it's not Bill and Ted, Over the Moon.
That wasn't a bad movie.
It wasn't a bad movie.
No, I was just throwing out movies that were...
I was disappointed in the ending of that, but that was about it.
It was to make Lady Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Lady Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
It was to give the opportunity for the next generation to be Lady Bill and Ted.
Yeah, but like that, it just made the future people from all three movies just look really bad and inept.
True.
Are we forgetting also like Mulan? We mentioned that earlier.
I never saw it
on purpose.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Mulan.
Let's talk about Mulan and no.
Yeah, like because just with the stupid like what was it, Premier Access or something?
You have to pay $40 to just rent this movie, and we're like, no.
Like what kind? Like that's just like Bloof family ignorance of like what families are gonna pay for. Like, what could a movie rental cost? $100?
$200? Oh,
but
yeah.
I just wanted to nag on Disney for them and their terrible practice of, one, you have to buy a subscription to their service, and then two, you have to pay for that. That was just a dumb idea.
It was.
And I'm glad they realized that they weren't going to get away with that.
No, they're still doing it. Because, what's the movie? There's a movie that's going to be coming out that they just announced. Oh, Raya. The trailer just dropped this morning.
Raya the Last Dragon.
That's on.
They said they were doing premiere action.
Yeah. Because
they said they were going to do that about something in December, and then they were like, maybe not.
Soul.
Nope.
They wanted to do Soul as a premiere, and then they realized the backlash with Mulan, and they're like, nope, we give this freely. We give this freely of ourselves. And you're like, you damn straight, you give this freely of yourself.
Because I'm telling you now, if they come back with it, like, I don't care what the price is, I'm not doing it. I don't consider it like, oh, you have to wait a year. Whatever.
It's not even going to last.
It's Black Widow, a year. I'll wait.
Shoot, if they had put Black Widow on premiere, we all would have bought it by, at least one of us would have bought it by now and seen it.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah. But we'd be like, hey, do you want to go in on Black Widow? You give me 10 bucks. I can take 10 bucks from him, 10 bucks from me. It's probably some movie ticket. We're good.
Yep. Experience this movie event in theaters or order it on Disney Plus with premiere access March 5th.
I'm going to slap some people. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to wait. But I'm cautiously optimistic because some of the artists that have worked on this are so dang excited about this movie.
Yeah, that was one where, like, I feel like, why are they not talking about this more? Like,
because Awkwafina's the dragon?
That's weird.
Did you not see the trailer that dropped today?
Well, not today, no. The
official trailer dropped today.
I saw whatever came out before.
Then there's time for you to see this one. That's why. And then we can make it, we can go, Spencer says, yeah. New?
No, I'm gonna say no already because I'm like, I don't want to support this practice. I find it's a bad practice.
Well,
you charge one price, not two.
We know then that this is something that came about from the wonderful year of 2020, as did several other wonderful things, and the unique aspect of movies that were created during the pandemic or that were actually released during the pandemic. Let's not do that again.
Please no.
Let's get back to some semblance of normalcy where movies are actually made properly or there's proper precautions. I mean, we're not going to have a whole Tom Cruise situation going on here, but we are going to expect, like, because with the new order for California, a lot of studios are going to be coming back to working order come this upcoming few months. I believe they just announced that they're going to be filming... they're filming something starting next month. You had mentioned it, Amy, I believe. They're going to be starting to film season two of something. Or no, the next season of The Mandalorian.
Season three of The Mandalorian, which I kept asking. I'm asking why? Because we ended it in such a great space that we could take some time off and hit the Book of Boba.
So that's a conversation for another episode.
I have something that is not that has started production, though this is a hip hip hooray. In Australia, Taika has started shooting for Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
That started today.
It started today, and I thought it was really great because he had the indigenous Australian Aboriginals come out and bless the set and the actors and the production. And I'm like, get a dude.
Somebody who...
like someone who really gets it.
He cool. I like him.
Yeah. Well, that about wraps up another awesome episode and the last episode that we will be referencing the year 2020.
Until next week. No, I don't know, because someone will say something and we'll be talking about 2020.
Well, this is our official opportunity to no longer talk about 2020 from here moving forward, unless it's in reference to how we're not in 2020.
Thank you.
This was a great episode, and this was an awesome opportunity to just really, in a time where movies and even going out, doing anything unique, was kind of out of our reach, if you will. This opportunity to have something in a community setting where we saw movies together, or we saw movies at the same time, or movies were released and we got to experience them. At least we had that opportunity to still keep community alive and well within us, which actually goes back to the conversation we had with Jeff. Cinema in the time of COVID or Corona. Or cinema in the time of quarantine.
Yeah,
that's one of the episodes on our list, so check it out. But that wraps up another awesome episode, and we appreciate you very much for listening to us. We are done with, we are putting away, we are throwing out 2020. We are now focusing fully on 2021, and I'm excited. So again, check us out on our website at filmlossifers.com. You can also check us out on our website. That was our website.
Yeah.
On our Facebook and on our social pages at facebook.com/filmlossifers and on our Instagram and Twitter page at filmlossophy101. It's interesting that now that we're moving into the new year of 2021 with all the things, with new opportunities for films to get being made and things like that, it's going to be interesting to see how the industry kind of bounces back into the normal operations of, you know, filmmaking. And COVID is not gone, but it is still something that, you know, hoping that we bounce back with the industry. So before we go, Amy, why don't you let them know where they can find you?
When I'm not interning here at the Filmlossifers, you can find me at thecapelesscrusaders.com, your hub, your home away from home for me and my fellow crusaders, the Capeless Crusaders. We film. See, I'm in my film brain. We record 2 episodes a month, of course. And this last episode, we actually had one of our friends from the Nerd On podcast, and we talked about some comic book news. We also covered some Magic the Gathering news in there, and we did even a little film talkie about Deadpool 3 being in the MCU. And yeah, but you can definitely find me that or IJ New Robot on the varying social media platforms.
She was about to do a whole new segment all on her own.
Mm-hmm.
I had to throw up the finger and do the whole circle-y, like, wrap it up, woman.
That's the roundabout. That's rally point. Are you the rally point?
So,
rally point.
From all of us here at the Filmlossifers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
Still intern Amy.
Class dismissed.